Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Transformation for Success with Dr. Barbara Young, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Good, fantastic Tuesday. I trust you're having a great day so far. This is Dr. Barbara Young, your LA Talk Show radio host, and I'm back in the saddle again. I've been away listening audience, and it's good to be back. I missed you. I really did, and I hope some of you out there missed me. Welcome to the show, Transformation for Success. A show designed to highlight interesting topics and guests to share their knowledge, expertise, inspiration, and principles to help you on the path to greater emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This live internet talk radio show will stream from the host page at www.latalkradio.com. An archive will be available at the same link immediately following the show. Transformation for Success is the place to be on Tuesdays at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Callers, you're welcome to call me during the show at 323-203-0815. I'll give it to you again, 323-203-0815. I also invite you to email your questions or comments to me at drbyoungradio@yahoo.com. During this 45-minute segment, I have the opportunity to interview successful men and women who share their timeless principles that they have applied to their own lives. Now, I know that attending a workshop on the weekend is not enough. Neither is reading a book or watching a training video. But what truly successful people do is listen daily to audio programs from successful individuals, either in the car, at home, or even in the office, even if it's just for 15 minutes. And I can tell you, I encourage you to take time out during your lunch hour and listen each week, because I know for a fact that you can attain unimagined levels of success. Why? Because the principles and techniques that are taught on this show always work. All you have to do is put them to work for you. Today, I am so excited I can hardly keep myself really still. We have the noted Dr. Tiffany Wright, the LA Skinny Coach, who is an internationally recognized health advocate and weight loss expert. I can't wait, and get your friends, call them right now, tell them listen in to Dr. Tiffany Wright. Good afternoon, Dr. Wright.
Good afternoon. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited. I really am, Tiffany, to have you on the show.
Me too.
I realize I met you a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and it was so exciting to meet a number of women who were really doing some great things. And among those women was the noted Dr. Tiffany Wright. May I call you Tiffany or the Skinny Coach? One of the things I want to kind of share a little bit with the listening audience about your background, because I think it's really, really interesting, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. But really, she earned her doctorate from the University of California and dedicated to the study of behavior and weight loss with an emphasis on controlling compulsive overeating behavior. Now, she insists that she is simply a student of life. But if pressed, she's going to admit to an intuitive understanding of people and how what they do to their bodies changes everything. I can attest to that. Combining her studies of obsessive dieting and compulsive overeating, along with continuing academic research on how certain foods cause uncontrollable cravings, Tiffany developed the Skinny Coach Diet. Finally, a fairly simple solution to those people that have found it impossible to stay on a diet long enough to lose the weight they desire. Tiffany lost 100 pounds. Can you imagine that? Following the Skinny Coach diet, and she's kept it off well over a decade. So today, we're going to find out from Tiffany a little bit about her and how she found a way to help women and is helping women today to lose weight permanently. So there's a growing need, I know, out there and interest in how her success has led to the creation of the Skinny Coach Solution. Well, Tiffany, again, welcome, girl, because I know we got a lot to share on this show today.
Everyone likes to talk about weight.
Don't they? I mean, oh, gosh. If you hear it, you know, once you hear it many times for women and men nowadays who are talking about, you know, weight issues. One of the things I guess I'm going to bring up, too, that we hear, and it's interesting because I was watching Dancing with the Stars last night and how one of the girls, and even this morning, I heard Tyra Banks talk about how when they were growing up, they were accused, bullied about being fat, being overweight, and being ugly, and all this emphasis about if you're not skinny, you know. And I heard Tyra this morning a lot of times that she wasn't used as a model. She was sort of turned away. And what, how devastating this can be on you, and hearing that you're fat, you're you know, this. So anyway, I want to start by having you highlight a bit of the high points of your journey and some of the low points, and then what led you to decide that your life had to change? Okay.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I say this often, I was a fat girl from a long line of fat women. And so I grew up in a very heavy household. I was heavy my whole life. I was always the one teased at school. Back in the 70s, about 10 to 15% of the country was overweight. Now it's 70%. So being overweight then was a little less common than it is now. And so it was definitely a defining factor in my life that I was that I was overweight. And my mom was always on a diet. I was always on a diet. We would go to Weight Watchers every Monday and, you know, of course, we'd go out and eat afterwards, but that's another story. I grew up. I went to college. I was still overweight. I got married. I was 100 pounds overweight. I had a son. And at a certain point, it occurred, you know, I tried every diet, Nutrisystem, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, everything there was, I tried, like many dieters have. Mm-hmm. And a fellow colleague of mine worked with alcoholics, and she was overweight. And she said, you know, I wish I was an alcoholic. I could just stay away from bars. But we can't stay away from food. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that changed everything for me, that thought, because it occurred to me that it wasn't all foods that I was binging on. You know, I was not up all night binging on green beans. So I took a hard look at what those foods were and wrote down a list. And everything that I overate, everything that I had a problem with, everything I binged on, either had sugar or flour or both.
Wow.
So at that moment, I decided to use the abstinence model that alcoholics use, and that is to completely abstain from them. So I abstained from sugar and flour, and that was the beginning of the Skinny Coach Solution. I doing that, I lost 100 pounds in less than a year, and that was 18 years ago. I wrote a book about it, developed a program, and it's gone from there.
But Tiffany, I hear so many women who, like you, you know, have suffered from being overweight all of their lives. And how hard was that for you? I mean, because I, you know, hear, and you do too, constantly, they abstain for a while, and then they go back to it. To eating the wrong foods. I mean, like you were talking about sugar and flour and you know, or both. And these cravings, a lot of people have these cravings, and they'll just say, oh, well, just one little, you know, one little bite. And that one little bite, it's almost like an alcoholic. It turns into, you know, several bites or, you know, 10 cookies or half a cake. So how hard was it for you to just really say, I'm abstaining and I'm not going back to this sugar? Tell us, because I know it wasn't easy.
Well, you know, for some, I know this sounds hard to believe, but for some reason, that moment, it was easy. And it just, I knew that that's what I had to do. And it turns out, if you do eliminate sugar and flour, and I'm not talking about just sugar, a lot of people give up sugar and they still have cravings and they still have a difficult time. But when you give up both, when you give up sugar and flour, and you're eating enough protein and the right foods and the right combination, you don't have cravings the first day. You don't have cravings at all. You don't have any withdrawal. And what happens is, and you still have habits. You still have associations. You still have bad days. You still have the psychological drive. But you don't have the physiological and hormonal upset that has the nail-biting aspect.
Okay.
So it becomes really simple when you are eating the right things instead of thinking of it as not eating those things.
Okay. Did you ever slip or anything?
Nope.
I mean, once you made up your mind, you never slipped?
No, and I can tell you that I've been working with hundreds of women for over 8 years now, and very few do. If you set up the way, you know, if you set it up right, if you are eating the right foods, and you have a system of cognitive behavioral techniques in place to retrain your brain, you're unlikely to go back. But you have to be in the right place. You have to realize, and it might not be true for you, it might not be true for Susan or for Frank, but for some people it is true. Just like with alcoholics, you have to have complete abstinence. And if you're in the right place and you have the right systems in place, then you know that one slip-up means you're going to kill yourself. One slip-up means you're going to be fat forever. One slip-up means there will be two, you know, one cookie means there will be two. And you know that from a lifetime of experience. So every day my girls, you know, and I write out our menus. Every day we say not one other bite and we'll be skinny forever. Every day there's this rewiring of the idea that one slip-up is the equivalent of a whole box of cookies, because eventually it will be.
Wow.
And we know that from a lifetime of experience.
Well, you know, what does research have to say? How bad is sugar really for you? I mean, all sugar or just some? How bad is it?
Well,
you hear a lot of pros and cons, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I talk about sugar, I'm not talking about fruit. I'm not talking about potatoes or rice. I'm talking about the 100 different types of sugar, 100 different names of sugars, which, by the way, I have on a PDF if any of your listeners want, in the ingredients list. So you're not looking at the nutritional label where, for instance, a banana, if it had a nutritional label, would have sugars, or yogurt has sugars, or even milk has sugars. We're talking about the ingredients list, the ingredients label, if sugar is added to that. How bad is sugar for you? There's no difference between high fructose corn syrup and honey. There's no difference between white table sugar and glucose. They're all sugar. They're transformed into glucose the minute they touch your tongue. They go through your pancreas. Your pancreas releases insulin to utilize the sugar for energy. Sugar is, you asked how bad for you is it? It's very bad for you. It has no nutritional benefit, but worse than that, it causes hormonal disruptions in your endocrine system, and it causes addiction. And it's been shown to be more addictive than either cocaine, heroin, or cigarettes.
Well, you know, they talk about sugar being an alcohol. I mean, the derivative of alcohol turns to sugar in the body. So I've been told.
Yeah, alcohol is a sugar. Yes, that's true, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything that you can have? Many years ago, my daughter she was 8 years old and diagnosed as diabetic. And during that time, the only thing out was this, derivative
saccharin.
Of sugar. Saccharin, and then they had Sweet and Low had just come out. And so my whole household, we had to turn upside down and turn sugar away and start, you know, having saccharin and our Sweet and Low because of her. She didn't want to see us having sugar, and she couldn't have sugar. So for many years, we started that sort of diet. So what is there any sugar one can have? I mean, because they talk about all these other, you know, supplements that you can use.
Right.
But you would recommend.
So saccharin, we all know now that is a carcinogenic. So it actually has been proven to cause cancer.
Right.
And the other artificial sweeteners, like the little blue packets and things like that, mm-hmm. those actually have sugar in them. And mm-hmm. in addition to sugar, they have hormone disruptors, leptin and ghrelin specifically. So what they found is that when women drink diet soda versus women who drink regular soda in controlled mm-hmm. studies, and they eat the same amount of calories, except one has a diet soda, and one has a regular soda, the women who have the diet soda actually gain more weight.
Wow.
They actually gain more weight, and they actually gain more weight in the belly. Because it's not, the food industry has propagated this idea of calories in and calories out. And it's an antiquated notion that's been proved unequivocally incorrect, and it doesn't work. A calorie is not a calorie. Certain foods and certain chemicals that you put in your body affect your metabolism. And when I say metabolism, I mean the biochemical reactions of hormones in your body. So okay. what those diet artificial sweeteners do, what they do is they disrupt the hormones that help your body know it's hungry, know it's full, and know to burn a calorie. And therefore, when you're drinking a diet soda with a meal, that meal is not being processed for energy. It's being stored as fat.
Mm.
So, and that's an artificial
wow.
sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you talk about
wow.
regular sweeteners, yeah, it's pretty hectic. And that's not me saying one little study. This study has been replicated over and over and over. And it's not one of those things that people are going to say, oh, they're always changing their mind on what you can eat and what you can't eat. It's kind of like saying they're always changing your mind about how the universe is formed. I mean, we thought it was flat, we thought it was round, we thought this, we thought this, then we saw a picture of it, now we know. So until recently, research was done theoretically. There was a theory that, for instance, eating cholesterol would cause cholesterol, but they had no data. They weren't able to look into the body and see that. It was a conjecture, a theoretical conjecture. Mm-hmm. Now they can see. Now they can go into the body and see the mechanics of it. And we know for sure now that, for instance, cholesterol does not cause high cholesterol. Sugar does. Eating sugar causes
right.
high cholesterol.
Yeah, sugar. Now, I want to get back to a question.
Yeah.
You said diet soda versus regular soda. But wouldn't regular soda be bad because it's got sugar in it?
Well, yes, of course, right? So, yeah, that's bad for you, too. I'm just saying artificial sweeteners are no better.
Okay, you're just saying that. Right. You think you're doing the lesser of
yeah,
the evils if you have diet.
Yeah, because you're asking if there's an alternative.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the alternative to sugar is real food. You know, the real, it's a common question because people can only think about, oh, you don't eat sugar and flour, and now you start thinking